Hare Krishna. So today, answer some questions, starting with Daivir, who quotes Nectar Devotion, and Rupa Goswami writes, a neophyte devotee who simply developed the sign of love of Godhead is certainly a prospective candidate for devotional service. When he becomes firmly fixed in such devotional service, that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. So he's asking what this means. Rupa Goswami is talking about devotional service in practice. In fact, he's talking about the adhikara, the qualification for devotional service in practice. And here, the use of slight love of Godhead means that someone has shraddha, someone has faith. And because when you have faith, then pure faith, and pure faith means that you're really attached to Krishna, you want to please him, then that's called a spark. A spark of love of God is there. And that shraddha, that pure faith, that's the qualification for pure devotional service. So that's the adhikar for pure devotional service. And as one advances in Krishna consciousness, then one comes to the level of nishta, and that's the other stage that here is being talked about, and that's the intermediate stage of devotional service. So kanishta adhikari, madhyam adhikari, and his firmness in devotional service, that becomes, as it's very nicely here stated, it becomes that assured status becomes a confidential part of his devotional service. In other words, the confidential part of devotional service is that this person is fixed in devotion, and no matter what happens, no matter what difficulties they go through, but they always identify themselves as, I'm a servant of Krishna. Whereas a kanishtha adhikari, he can give up devotional service, but a madhyamadhikari has that conviction that come what may, whatever I may hear, whatever I may happen, I fix the devotional service and continue. And then that becomes, as it's nightly, a confidential part of his devotional service. As he becomes further advanced in devotional service, those are the symptoms, that steadiness, is always there. Krishna can always rely on that person. Mohandas from Hungary, he asks a good question. There's come some good questions here. And his question is, well, Prabhupada says, and he gives a reference, but there are many places where Prabhupada says this, that actually God has no name, but he's given names according to his pastimes. So what does it mean that God has no name? And it means that God has no name like we have names. How do we get a name? Sam, Joe, Mary, and so on. These are just assigned names, although they also have some kind of traditional meaning, just like, for instance, my name was Peter, which means rock, but it wasn't a name that I got because my parents knew what I was going to be like, and therefore, for some rock-like qualities, they gave that name. Rather, it was just, they liked it, they liked the sound of it, and so they decided that that was going to be the name. And in the same ways, everyone else gets names. They get their names. Well, devotees at the best get their names assigned to them as servant of Krishna, Das or Dasi, and at least that's meaning something. But still, it's different than Krishna's names. Of course, Krishna's never born, so names are never assigned to him, and no one ever assigns some mundane name. But because Krishna has unlimited pastimes, because he has unlimited qualities, because he has unlimited devotees, So even though he has no mundane name, he has some unlimited transcendental names which really mean something and represent, actually not represent, that's not the right word, because they're not different from him, because they glorify his different pastimes, qualities, and devotees. So those names then become actually non-different than him. That's what it means, that he's absolute. And whereas we're relative, so therefore there's a difference between us and our names. So he who has no name has unlimited names. And unfortunately, in some religions, they have a problem with our chanting Hare Krishna, because they say that God has no name. They only know one part of the thing, but they don't recognize that he also has many names. Then Nanda Das asks, he says, would it be an offense to chant the first two lines of Sad Goswami Astaka before Kirtan? And Prabhupada's answer is, don't do it. Not necessarily an offense, but it's not the Kirtan method that Prabhupada gave us. Prabhupada gave us Panchatattva Mahamantra and Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavai Namaha as compulsory chanting before the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If then Nanda starts singing two verses of Sat Goswami Astakam, someone else is going to sing four, and someone else is going to dream up of a whole bunch of other things, and the end result will be is it Nakrachan Hare Krishna, or that there will be so many other standards. Of course, that if someone does something like that once in a blue moon, then that's all right, but it shouldn't become a regular practice. It should not be one's sadhana. The regular assigned tradition and sadhana should be the chanting that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And Advoksita Krishna Prabhu will finish with his questions. He has three questions. Why can't we see the residents on the sun and the moon? Well, one reason is I can't see that far. But even if I went there, I don't have the eyes to see. They are adrishta. They are invisible to us. Although I can see the ocean, I can't see all the living entities that live in the ocean because I don't have eyes. I can't see all the different organic living entities, bacteria, and so on, because I don't have the vision to see. So in the same way, we don't have the vision to see the demigods, but of course they can make themselves visible as they tend to, and that's one of their names, is that they're invisible to human sight. Because we are we're extremely limited. That's what it means, conditioned souls. They're also conditioned, but they're less conditioned than we are. His second question is, and this is an interesting question. This was a good question. I already answered it in Hungarian. And he says, what is the difference in activity of someone, a devotee, one person takes birth on the planet, in the material world, where Krishna is exhibiting his pastime, and another person takes birth here on this planet in Vrindavan. In other words, it becomes a Vrijavasi. So the difference, the person who takes birth in the material world on the planet where Krishna appears is a siddha. He's attained a stage of perfection, at least he's attained the stage of bhava and perhaps the preliminary stage of prema. And so he becomes qualified to get the association of Krishna's eternal associates and be further trained and eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. However, if someone hasn't achieved that stage but has become very advanced in Krishna consciousness and needs to perform more sadhana, then he'll take birth in Vrindavan on this planet, because taking birth in Vrindavan on this planet is part of sadhana bhakti. And just like Gopinath, every time he needed to make that step forward, he had to come here to the Earth planet and practice devotional service and then move forward like that. So that was one advantage. Of course, that's the difference between the two. And his last question is not so clear. Prabhupada clearly says many times the only human form of life living entity go beyond eating and sleeping. I assume going back to God, that is what he means. So what is the point of the Lord appearing in all the species of life if only in the human species can one go back to God? Because although he may appear in those species, he appears to elevate them, not necessarily to ensure that they go back home back to Godhead. But he's elevating them. We read again in Brihad Bhagavatamrita how Lord Vamandev is there on the heavenly planet, personal darshan of the Lord. But the demigods, including Indra, are so absorbed in their sakama bhakti that they don't immediately go back to Godhead, but that they become purified. Some may not. So just like, why is Krishna here? In his murti form. His murti form is not different than his personal form to elevate us. We can go back to Godhead if we're sufficiently determined and advanced, and we can just become promoted again to a high form of life in our next life. So that was the answers for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Hare Krishna.